Author Edward McClelland got his start as a writer working on The Lookout, the campus newspaper at Lansing Community College. He now lives in Chicago. McClelland's newest book is Nothing But Blue Skies, The Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. He'll visit the Everybody Reads bookstore in Lansing this Saturday. In the book, he recounts the Midwest's industrial growth and decline in the second half of the 20th century. Current state Scott Pohl spoke with Edward McClelland about how his Lansing upbringing, especially attending Sexton High School across the street from the former Fisher Body Auto Plant, shaped the writer he would become.
They used to say at one time there was a tunnel between the graduation stage and the line there. But I had a teacher, a chemistry teacher, Mr. Deslich, who he would start his classes every year with a speech. He'd say it used to be that you didn't have to study and you could just get your diploma and walk across the street and get a job. But that's all over now. You guys are going to have to go to college and get an education. And this was probably around 1982 or 1983 when the auto industry was in a really terrible recession, as I'm sure a lot of people remember. And so even though my family wasn't personally involved in the auto industry, I think the auto industry affects the job prospects of pretty much everybody in Lansing and in Michigan.
The dedication of your book speaks to how your schooling fits in with all of this. So would you read that dedication for me and then expound on it?
Okay. This was to Mr. Matt Mann, a J.W. Sexton High School history teacher who taught me the story of America. And that was a teacher I had for several history classes. And I've already sent him a copy of the book, and he seemed pretty tickled by it. And we learned a lot about the history of industrial America in his class. And he did have an anecdote from the 60s about a student he had. He said the student was just a real chucklehead. And I think he dropped out of school, and he came back one day a couple of years later and pointed at his sports car, and he said, "Look, that's what I bought from, you know, working in the shop." And Mr. Mann was thinking, "Well, then look at me. I'm driving my beat-up station wagon." He said he figured the guy was something like an assistant electrician, and he would hand light bulbs to an electrician. And so those were the kinds of good union jobs you had back in the 60s.
Your book covers lots of Midwestern locales, but I'd like to talk specifically with you about a few sections that deal specifically with Lansing. And let's begin with the prologue about Gus's Bar, taking place in Gus's Bar out by the old plant.
You know, when we were in high school, we would sort of walk by all those bars, but they were kind of forbidden territory. That's where all the auto workers. There was a bar across from every gate. There was Gus's that was on Michigan, and then there was Harry's under Linden, and then there was a little further away, there was the Irish Pub on Saginaw, which is now closed. And so I went back there while I was researching the book and was amazed to see that he had somehow survived the closing of Fisher Body. But he talked about how different it was. When the shop was going, I mean, he said people would just jam in after every shift change. You know, they shoved the money across the bar, and whoever shoved his money furthest got his beer first. And when I met him, he was pretty much the only guy working there. He was working 16, 17 hours a day, living upstairs. He's got kind of a flop house attached to it. And he really wanted to go back and retire to Greece. And he'd actually done so at one point, but the guy who bought it was unable to make it go, so he had to move back from Greece, back to Lansing, and so it was kind of a good metaphor as to what's happened to the auto industry and to the west side of Lansing.
That's right. You return to the subject of Gus's Bar for the last page or two of the book.
Right. He said he finally sold it, and I think I asked him, I said, "What are they going to call this place when you're gone? Is it still going to be Gus's Bar?" And I said, Gus smiled. He had one last joke for the city that had taken away his livelihood. His name got to be Gus, too, he said. He said, "I'm going back to Greece. No more of this place. I've been here for 50 years. Right now, Lansing, the most dumb place because there's no jobs."
Chapter 16 of your book, the final chapter of the book, is called This Is Not Your Father's Oldsmobile, and it recounts the story of The end of the Oldsmobile years, Lansing's efforts to keep General Motors in town, the construction of two new plants over the course of two mayoral office holders.
Right. Well, I think one thing that's important to understand, and you know, you want to talk about why Lansing isn't in the shape that Detroit and Flint are, and certainly one reason is that Lansing has a more diversified economy. We've got the university and we've got the state capital. But I think a couple other reasons are, you know, Lansing never really had the racial strife that Detroit had. I mean, certainly when I was going to school, it was almost half white and half black, which I kind of went to school at the peak of integration in America. And I think I read a statistic recently that Lansing has the most multiracial residents who claim an African-American parent. So Lansing is actually one of the most integrated cities in the United States. And I think another reason what differentiates Lansing from Flint is Lansing never had the tradition of labor strife that Flint had. Of course, Flint had the sit-down strike in the 30s, and they never really let go of the spirit of that. So strikes in Flint always lasted longer and were harder to solve, and there was more antagonism between labor and management. And I really think one reason Lansing got two new auto plants was the work ethic and the cooperation of the workforce here. I mean, it's interesting to talk to Lansing auto workers because almost uniformly they will disparage the attitude and the work ethic of their union brethren in Flint.
I wanted to ask you about where you think Lansing fits in with the other Midwestern cities that you visit and talk about in your book.
Well, as I was saying, Lansing is I would say Lansing is in better shape than a lot of these cities. You know, when I was growing up, it was always kind of frustrating to me that no one had ever written a book about Lansing, and that's kind of one of the things I wanted to do in this book. But I think one thing I found was that you really can't get an entire book out of Lansing the way you could out of Flint or Detroit or Cleveland or Buffalo. And I think that's partly because of its size and partly because its story just isn't as dramatic as the story of a lot of those other cities, which people living in Lansing should probably be glad for. I mean, Lansing certainly you know, has had about the same level of deindustrialization as a lot of those cities. There used to be 25 or 30,000 people working for GM in Lansing, and now there are about 5,000. It just doesn't take as many people to build a car as it used to. But and Lansing has, you know, pockets like the old Fisher Body Plant that will certainly remind you of deindustrialization, but I don't think it ever really shows the scars of the Rust Belt era as much as a lot of these other cities do.
There may only be 5,000 auto jobs in town, but that's more than zero.
Right, it's more than zero. But you know, the other thing you have to remember about auto jobs is now a lot of them just don't pay like they used to. A lot of the new employees are what they call tier ones. So they're starting at $14 an hour, which is not really a middle-class wage. So you can't really depend on an auto job instantly vaulting you into the middle class the way it used to. Of course, GM says that this was something that they had to do to get out of bankruptcy, and they're going to try to promote everybody when they finally can, but I don't think that's really ever going to happen. I think the days when the blue-collar worker and the white-collar worker would make the exact same amount of money, which was how it was when I was growing up, I don't know if that's the future we have to look forward to.
I was going to ask you where you think Lansing goes from here with the two newest plants in General Motors, and yet with fewer jobs and lower pay for those jobs. What do you think lies ahead?
I mean, I think as far as an automaking town goes, Lansing is doing as well as any automaking town can. But I don't think automaking town is going to be central to its identity as it was certainly in the era of the Oldsmobile. And, you know, that GM was the pre eminent industry in town. I think now it's sort of more part of the mix than it is the number one job in the city.
The book is Nothing But Blue Skies, The Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. Author Edward McClelland will be at Everybody Reads Books and Stuff on East Michigan Avenue in Lansing at 1 o'clock on Saturday, May 18th. And you'll also be, I understand, at the Oldsmobile Reunion at the Secondary Complex on June 15th from 9 to 3. Thank you.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.